Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Just for a moment, reflect on that statement. How great is our God? Take a moment and look back over your own life and see those moments where God was with you in those situations, in those circumstances. Hindsight is always 20/20. Those times where we thought we were all alone, and we look back and we can see, God, you were right there, and you were right there, and you were right there. Now let's come into our current situation and allow our hearts to be reminded of God's greatness and to know and to believe that the God that was with you in that past circumstance is the same God that is with you right now in this situation. You know the situation you're in. You know the obstacle in front of you. You know what it is that you're facing. And God is reminding you that He has not changed. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He is an unchanging God. So whatever it is that you are facing this morning, allow your heart to be reminded of God's greatness. Not just to sing it with our lips. Not to become those people that Jesus spoke about and said, their words speak it, but their hearts are so far from me. Allow your heart to come in alignment with what you're speaking, what you're declaring, and knowing, and trusting, and having faith for. That same God is with you right here, right now. And Father, we thank you that you are here in this situation. You are here. You are present. You are in our hearts. And our trust and our confidence will continue to be in you. Even though we can't see how it's all going to unfold, even though right now we're thinking, God, you're so far away, you are still right here. The question is where is our heart? Have we allowed our heart to drift from Him? And if we have, it's time to come back to that place of knowing and believing and having faith that God is with us right here, right now. We thank you for this, Jesus, and we thank you that you are here. We continue to give you the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There are two questions that I want for you to think about this morning. And the first question is this: what is God saying to me? So as we continue in what I'm sharing with you this morning, I want you to have that question first and foremost. What is God saying to me? And the second question is this: what am I going to do about it? So what is God saying to me, and what am I going to do about that? All right? So Father, right from the very beginning, I pray that you would even right now begin to open up our hearts and our minds to what it is that you want to say to us in this place. I believe this morning you are going to be speaking to every single individual in this place, because I believe that you are always speaking. I pray that our hearts would be listening for your voice, knowing your voice, and doing something about what it is that you are speaking to us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So each time that we hear something, we have a choice to make. We can choose to listen to what we're hearing, or we can choose to ignore it. No matter what it is that happens, we have a choice. And as we know, life is all about choices. So you may have a word that's spoken over your life. And this word could be positive. This word could be negative. But you have a choice to make in that moment. Am I going to receive this word or am I going to cast that word off? What choice are we making? While I was taking some time to study for this upcoming series that we're working on, God was speaking into my heart, and I sensed in my own heart that He was asking me to take the next step in my own personal journey, the journey that He has had me on for the last few years. In the spring of 2015, Kyla and I embarked on a chapter of our lives that we did not see coming. And we ourselves had to make that choice. Are we going to embrace this and move forward, or are we going to ignore this and continue just to push it to the side? As a couple, we made the choice to embark on this journey together as a couple. Now, like many individuals, we don't always understand and know when we're sick. We'll often talk to people who they'll say, I went to the doctor. I didn't think that anything was wrong. I was just going in for a routine checkup, and I came out with this diagnosis. While I was on vacation, I was visiting with my family, and my cousin had just received word. She went into the doctor. She was having some issues with her stomach. And she walked out of the doctor's office with a diagnosis of stage 4 lung cancer. 38 years of age, 3 children, married, never smoked a day in her life. And this is the diagnosis that she's been given. And in that moment, she has a choice to make. Am I going to fight this, or am I going to succumb to the diagnosis? And she is making the choice to fight, and she's going to fight with everything that's in her. And I'm sure that there are many people in this room who have heard these stories, or perhaps you are that individual that went into a doctor's office and you walked out with a diagnosis that you yourself never expected to hear. Well, this was kind of what happened with Kyle and I in January 2015. We had some minor glitches in our marriage, but nothing that appeared to be life-changing or in need of great healing. But things drastically changed for us in March 2015. So let me interject just a little bit, because, and Kyla has to do this to me often. She's like, you're talking about this, and then all of a sudden you're way over here. How did you get that thought? This is how my mind will often work. So just so that you understand how we got there. On Easter Sunday of this past year, I had planned to go to Tofino. I was going there for 4 days for intensive studying. Now, throughout the day as I was studying, I was also taking the time to reflect on what God was speaking to me, what I was reading, studying, all of this sort of stuff. Now, during this time, I was also focusing on some personal growth areas in my own life. I wanted, you know, not just studying about sermons for what God was saying to us, but also what was God saying to me, to Chad, as an individual. Prior to going there, a friend of mine had called me, and he said, Chad, he says, I've been praying about you, and he says, the Lord has impressed upon my heart to encourage you, to challenge you to read the book, The Prayer of Jabez. Now, if you've never read this book before or not familiar with it, it's a book that was written in the late 1990s. Now, Jabez does not hold a lot of significance in Scripture. In fact, if you didn't go looking for Jabez in Scripture, you might not actually find him. He is buried in the midst of a genealogy in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. The only mention of this man is actually among the descendants of Judah. And 1 Chronicles 4:9 says this, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. So this is something that's interjected right in the midst of a genealogy. And that's all that you read at first. It doesn't even list who his brothers are. You know, you see the names, and this was the son, and this was the brothers, and this was the mother. You see Jabez, you don't know who his brothers are, you don't know who his mother is, you just know that she named him because he was born out of pain. We learn, though, that he is a part of this clan. And then the other mention comes the very next verse, verse 10, and it says, Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. And as you continue to read, verse 11, the genealogy picks up again. It's kind of cool that his prayer is included with all of these other scriptures. Now, was this prayer to be overlooked? Why is it just kind of thrown right in here in the midst of a genealogy? Why is it placed right there? So, again, shifting gears, this is kind of what happened to me while I was in Tofino. So I was studying, and God was downloading all sorts of ideas and kind of giving me some thoughts in regards to the passages and the sermon series that we were going to be working on. And so I'm doing this, and I'm also at the same time in my personal study reading this this prayer of Jabez. So as I'm studying, all of this stuff is being downloaded, I sense God say, it's time to destroy the root. And God continued to download these thoughts in regards to my sermons. And I stopped. Kind of like the prayer of Jabez, which kind of gets thrown into a genealogy. God is downloading these sermons, and then all of a sudden I hear, it's time to destroy the root, and then he goes back to downloading more ideas. And it's like, what does that mean? It's time to destroy the root. I knew that there was more to this thought than what I was hearing. And just like Jabez's prayer just gets dropped into this genealogy, I thought, does this hold any sort of significance? So later through the week, I came back to this thought. It's time to destroy the root. And I began to even wonder to myself, God, is this me or is this your voice? And as I continued to listen, it was being made more clear to me what it was that God was saying and that there was a lot more involved. So when I heard this word, it's time to destroy the root, I was being directed to a place and a time in my life, my own personal life, where my sexual innocence was violated. So still wrestling with this action that God was asking me to do, I decided it was time to invite a couple of people in. So on the morning of April 30th, I sent the following text message to two people. It's going to be up on the screen. I don't know if you'll be able to read it, but I'm going to read it off for you. What this text message says is, good morning. One thing that I believe I heard from God, and I can guarantee you it wasn't the devil, was that while I'm in Newfoundland, there are two places that I am to go. The first is to my aunt's house, specifically the bathroom. The second is the provincial park in Sops Arm. In both of these places, I am to go in and pray to break the curse of what my family member did to me all those years ago. I have forgiven him, and healing has taken place. This is the final step. What I picture is that the trees were all cut down during the healing process. There was a lot of weeding that had to take place. Now I am to go to the actual place where my sexual innocence was violated and break it once and for all. This is where the roots lie. These roots need to be cursed so they can wither and die forever, right down to the root. The forest needed to be clear-cut. The fire needed to come through to burn everything up. But there is still a root system in the ground that needs to be destroyed. Like I said, I believe this is from God. And it could be me. Either way, I don't see how anything bad can come of this. As I said, I do know that this is not the work of the enemy. So this is the text message that I sent to two people. Neither one had any idea that I was sending it to them. One was my accountability partner, Travis. The other was my wife, Kyla. So they had no idea. So I sent that. So in that, my thought was this. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? And that's the question that I want you to ask this morning. This story this morning is not at all about what happened to me as a child. Like I said, I've been healed of that. I've forgiven the individual. That is all done. What I want you to hear through anything that I share is the gospel message of Christ. How God walked with me through that. And that's what I want you to hear for your own situation. How is God walking with you through your situation, whatever it is that you have gone through? So do you ever have a thought and you wonder to yourself, God, is that you? Do you ever get this sense that you heard from God? It makes sense, but still you say, God, is that you? I believe that there's some skepticism in all of us. Even on my own admission, I wondered when I heard this, like, God, is this you? I even used myself as a scapegoat. But then I thought, well, you know what? I have nothing to lose by proceeding with this. However, if this is of God, I have so much to gain. Just like Jabez, the opportunity for me to deal with this can expand my borders, what God is calling me to. And I'm not talking about financial or real estate or anything like that. I'm talking about the opportunity to speak into other people's lives who have walked a very similar journey. And I can look at them and say, I understand what you're going through. I could have kept going about my day and neglected God's voice. But I believe that God is always speaking. And the question is, are we listening? What is God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? When God speaks, do we know his voice? I'm going to invite you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 to 18. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm reading from English Standard Version. It says this. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Hit pause. So they did not have the word of the Lord the way that we have it today. We have the word of God. We have the Holy Bible, right? We have this in our hands. And the Bible literally means, so Bible means book, and holy means set apart, sacred, or divine. So the Holy Bible is a book that has been set apart. It's God's book. In our fellowship, in the Pentecostal Assemblies of God, of Canada, the Bible does not simply contain the Word of God, but is, in reality, the complete revelation and very Word of God inspired by Holy Spirit. Christian believers today receive special illumination. We hear of many people receiving visions from the Lord to enable them to understand the Scriptures. God will bring it to light what he's saying to you. But God, now this is important to know, God does not grant new revelations that are contrary or additional to inspired biblical truth. So what that means is that we don't modify the Bible to make it line up with our lifestyle. Our lifestyle should line up with the Word of God. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. Amen. Perfect. Let's continue on. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down again. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose, and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Hit pause. How many times have we had God come and speak into our hearts, and we have not been able to comprehend who it is that we are hearing? It's kind of like when I shared this message with Kyla and Travis about what I heard. It wasn't fully clear to me that this was God. It wasn't written in the sky. But I had to make a choice to believe in my heart that this was from God and to move in that direction. Continuing on, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears will tingle. So what this is helping us understand is that we won't always be called to do fun things. You're going to read about that. Some of the tasks that God will ask us to do will involve challenges, and not everyone is going to like it. So on that day, he says, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to end, and I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Would this be our response if somebody came with a very difficult word for us to receive? Let it be, God, as you will. Do we understand what it means to hear God's voice? I believe that God speaks to us regularly through Scripture. I also believe that God speaks to us through those now words. Those times when he is speaking directly into a situation or into a circumstance that's going on in our lives. These are the words that speak to what it is that we're going through right now. The question is, are we creating space in our lives for God? Today, people will listen to podcasts. They will read books. They will listen to all sorts of speakers. And they are inspired. You hear that term a lot. I was so inspired. My question is, what are we doing with this inspiration? Looking at it through the lens of the two questions that I put out at the beginning, what is God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? When you are inspired, what is God saying to you right now, and what are you going to do about it? So when God speaks those now words, what do you do? So often as individuals, we focus more so on our five-year plans. When we get that question, what is your five-year plan? The question is more so for professional, for financial, for personal. How many of you have a five-year plan? There's some of you that have a five-year plan. The next question is, how are you doing with that five-year plan? Do you modify it each year? Each year, do you go back to that five-year plan? It's like, oh, need to tweak that. Didn't quite get that accomplished last year. We often focus on our five-year plans, but the question is, what are we doing about those now words that God is speaking? In your marriage, in your relationships, If Kyle and I, when we sat down, all that we ever focused on was our 5-year plan, what about those things that we need to deal with today? How are we dealing with those things that God is highlighting? On that one particular day in March of 2015, when God highlighted those things, like, wait now, God, can't deal with that. That's not in the 5-year plan. We didn't write that down. But God is saying, I need you to deal with this right now, or there will be no 5-year plan. Do we focus on those words? Do we think about those words that he's speaking to us right now? I believe the same is true with God. God wants our attention right now. The title of this series is, Can You Hear Me Now? Picture it. Have you ever walked up to a child and you grab them by their cheeks and say, Can you hear me now? It's very common for God to speak to us daily through his word as we spend time in his word. And he also speaks to us with those now words. God is a communicating God. Think about how often we grab our phones, we open up our social media accounts to find out what's going on in the run of a day or to update our status. Now take that, how many times you do that in a day, and compare it to how many times you might open up the Bible app on your phone to read a passage of scripture or to stop and say, God, what are you speaking to me right now? How often does God get a status update? God is a communicating God. He wants to be a part of our everyday. In the morning, Psalms 119, verse 140 says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. God gives us fresh starts in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And then in the evening, Psalms chapter 63 says, My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. But do we sometimes wonder, God, why would you talk to me? Why would you talk to me? Do we fully comprehend how much God actually loves us? Now, think about it. Should the Queen of England come to Comox, or Meghan Markle decide to have her baby shower somewhere here in Canada, what are the chances that any of us are going to get an invitation to these events? It's probably quite slim. And even if you did get an invitation, what would that invitation do for you in light of eternity? The Queen of England and the Duchess of Sussex are not able to offer you anything more than the opportunity for a selfie. When I was in Tofino, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was at the resort just up the road from me. I didn't get any phone calls saying, Hey, Chad, I'm in town. Let's go surfing. I had no clue that he was even there. However, I did get a personal invitation from Jesus. And even while I was there in Tofino, God showed up and we had a great discussion. It wasn't a rosy conversation, but we had a great discussion, and he helped me to see some things that I needed to work out. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, has extended an invitation to every single one of us. Have we received that invitation? What are we doing with it? Do you hear him speaking? Are you in a relationship with him? I never want to assume that just because an individual comes into this church and sits in a pew week after week, that they have a relationship with Jesus. Some of you come here week after week and you will hear me speak. But perhaps I've never even met you. Perhaps we've never even hung out. I wouldn't necessarily say that we are in a relationship. God, I speak to you, but we might not be in a relationship. God is speaking into your heart. Are you listening? Are you responding? Is that relationship a two-way street, or is it a one-sided relationship? As I said, sometimes when we're listening, when we're speaking to our children, we wonder if they are in fact listening to us. Do you ever have those conversations? I'm an eye contact type of a person. So when I'm talking to somebody, I want to be looking into their eyes. And it drives me nuts when they're looking up here. It's like, I want to stand up higher, and then they go up higher, right? So if you're in conversation with me, I want to look into your eyes. I want to see what you're saying. I want to know what's going on inside of your heart. That's why sometimes when we're speaking to our children, we go up and we just want to grab them. Do you hear me? And is God saying to us this morning, is he grabbing us by the cheeks and saying, do you hear me? God communicates in so many ways. He communicates through this universe that he's created for us to enjoy. He spoke the universe into existence. He reveals himself through nature. Look around this valley. Kyla and I went for a long nature walk yesterday. And it was amazing to see God's handiwork everywhere that we went. God uses his voice to call us into relationship with him. He's extended the invitation to us. His voice is used to instruct us, to lead us, to guide us. God uses his word to speak right now. The question is, are we stopping to listen? What has God been revealing to you? What is God saying to you, and what are you going to do about what he has said to you? Let's face it, there are times when God will ask us to do something and we don't like what he's asking. Going back to these places, when I went to Newfoundland on my vacation, I didn't get all excited. Having to go back to that park, but it's amazing what God did in my heart that day. Now, there wasn't this grandiose thing that happened while I'm standing there. But it was amazing. I walked in, and I mean, this happened in 1984. So picture it. This is what, 35 years later. I walk into that park. I go up the hill. I don't even know if the park still looks like what it was like then. But it's amazing that as soon as I got to that particular campsite, God stopped me, and I looked over, and everything, that whole vision, the whole scenario, everything about it, I could picture my aunt's tent trailer right there. I could picture where our tent was set up. I could picture what everything that was going on, and I was brought back to when everything happened. And on that moment, God set me free, and he cursed that ground, and he said, this no longer has a hold on you. This will no longer continue to bring things up. You clear cut it, there's a root system that has been cursed, and it is dead. This does not hold anything on you any longer. But I had a choice to make. In that moment, I had a choice to make. I could be obedient, or I could walk away and say, oh, that's just a crazy thought that you had. But let's face it, we don't all like to deal with our issues. When you share what's going on in your life, and I mean talking about those intimate details, it doesn't create those warm and fuzzy feelings that causes people to want to come closer. No, in fact, you know what it does? It causes them to be like, okay, that's a little bit too much for me. I can't handle that. It's not because they don't love you. Sometimes they don't know how to respond. Or the other thing that I have realized is that when I'm sharing my story, it brings people face to face with what they've gone through. And they think to themselves, I'm not ready to deal with that. So I need to get you out of my life because we are not talking about this any longer because I'm not ready to deal with it. But I have to remind myself, they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the work that God wants to do in their life. So I continue to pray for them. What has God been revealing to you? The second question, are you receiving the revealed word of God? It's one thing to be inspired. It's another thing to do something about the inspiration. Does the inspiration move you to action or cause you to walk away? When it comes to hearing from God, are you close enough that you can hear what it is that he's saying to you? Can you hear his voice? It's like me coming down here. That's the visual that I want you to have in your head. When you are not hearing from God, when you're thinking, God, I don't hear your voice. How come you're not speaking? Ask yourself the question, have I distanced myself from God? Because God's word says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never walk away from us. But we choose to walk away from him. Samuel kept hearing the word of the Lord, but he didn't know where it was coming from. It was in a format that obviously he could hear something very clearly. He heard it because he got up. He thought it was Eli, and he went, and he kept running to Eli saying, yes, I'm here. And finally, Eli's like, it's not me that's calling. It's obviously God, but he's hearing something. Finally, Eli himself figured out that God was speaking to him and provided coaching to him. Has God brought somebody into your path that you are able to encourage? When they share with you a thought or an idea that has been dropped into their heart, are you helping them to understand that this could be God speaking directly to them? So going back to this message that I sent to the two individuals that had no idea that I had sent it to the other, neither of them responded right away. But as I reflect on the conversation that took place, here's what happened. So Travis, my accountability partner, he comes back shortly after and he says, dude, this is powerful. I'm believing with you for kingdom territory to be taken back and the enemy's roots to be severed permanently. Is Kyla going to Newfoundland with you? And he said, the reason I asked is because you two are one in spirit and there's power in numbers. I was going to suggest she pray with you in those places. So this is the message that Travis is sending to me. So while I'm having this conversation with Travis, my phone is vibrating, not realizing what's going on, but it's Kyla is sending me a message. Understanding that they both received the exact same message. Kyla writes, absolutely. When you go, I will be praying. Or you can call me when you go to have someone agreeing with you. Or even Travis could be on the phone with you agreeing. Or if you feel you need to do it on your own. But either way, I'll be agreeing with you. So I shared with Travis what Kyla had said. And he comes back and he says, too funny. This is awesome. Talk about unity in the Spirit. Talk about unity in the Spirit. As this conversation was taking place, I was realizing in my heart that this was indeed what God was speaking to me about. I was hearing his voice. So once the word has been revealed, once it has been received, it requires a response. How are you responding? I know that God speaks to each of us. He will speak through his word. He will speak through the podcast that you listen to. He will sometimes even use me to speak into your life. But with each of these things, it requires a response. It requires a step of faith on your part. I can't take the step for you. Nobody else could go to that park on my behalf. I had to take the step of faith. So you know what God has spoken into your heart. The question is, what are you going to do about it? I know that God speaks to each of you. How do we expect God to take us deeper when we are not willing to use what he has given to us? The reason that Jabez had his territory expanded is because he was doing with it what God had asked. What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about what he has said? Do you understand the art of listening to God? Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking. Thank you that we have the ability to hear your voice. God, I pray that we as a people would be so in tune to your Holy Spirit that when you speak, we don't doubt. We simply move. When we come to that fork in the road and we're thinking, which way do I go? That we are so in tune with your Holy Spirit that we just automatically know which way it is that we are to go because we're walking in step with you. God, I pray that for each of us, we would take the time to listen to your word, to listen to your voice, to invite you into our daily circumstances, to invite you into our daily situations, to know that you are speaking right now. You're speaking right now. And I believe that you have been speaking right across this place. I pray that we would respond to the word that you are speaking. That we would invite somebody into our journey to hold us accountable, to remind us, to walk with us, but also to know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is with us everywhere we go. We have an army that's going ahead of us. So, Father, as you continue to reveal yourself to each person here, I pray that they would have the strength to respond as you are speaking. I thank you for what you've done in this place, and I thank you for what you're going to continue to do in this place. Not looking to our past, but looking right now and continuing to move in the direction that you are calling us to. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your healing. And we thank you that you continue to save lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.